Scripture is a lamp unto our feet. It is the very words of God breathed out to give us hope and to give us a future. And the power in the word of God is not in the one who speaks it. It is in the one who authored it, God himself. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we are humbled. And many of us are emotional. As we know and feel your hand in this entire journey, going back some 10 years. Father, we thank you that we can gather and celebrate your faithfulness today, what you've done. Father, I pray that your word, Lord, would just flow. I pray, Lord, that despite the sin that is in me, Lord, your spirit would speak and we would hear it. Father, I pray you would reach out right where we are, whether we are in the valley or on the mountaintop or somewhere in between. I pray, Lord, that you would reach into our hearts as if it was only one person here, you and each one of us. That, Lord, we would live for an audience of one, that we would hear from an audience of one. Father, I pray that you would get a hold of our hearts today and speak to us, Lord. Not that we would just hear, but we would do your very word. Father, thank you for the amazing grace that you give us each day. And Father, may we be faithful. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. That's a powerful video, and it's amazing because we see God's amazing plan, his glorious unfolding for some of us for 3 years, for others over 10 years of seeing what God has, is, and will do. And when we see this, we shouldn't be surprised because we see God's glorious unfolding of his plan throughout all of Scripture. And we're going to take a look at a passage today that I think speaks to God's glorious unfolding plan for his kingdom, for his church, and for his people. We're going to be taking a look at Acts 5. If you want to get your Bibles out, we're going to be looking at Acts 5. But let me set the context here just a little bit. We have seen the ascension of Jesus. We have seen Matthias has been replaced Judas. We've seen the coming of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. And I so appreciated the videos that we got. And it's so like God that on a day we celebrate the birth of the church, here we are celebrating the birth of Three Timbers. I mean, I'd say you can't write this stuff, but God already wrote it down, right? And so we celebrate that. And when we open up Acts and we see what God is doing, Peter preaches, 3,000 people repent and are baptized into the body of Christ. People are bringing the sick and the infirm to the apostles, and people are being healed. We see the kingdom community that is being absolutely modeled, people selling stuff, people giving of their time, their talent, their resources. All of these amazing things are happening, and the religious people don't like it. The religious people don't like that their power is being challenged, that their tradition is being questioned. They don't like that. And so they decide to take action. And so we read in Acts 5 the action that the religious and political people took. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. Now, from the outside, it would look like, oh, there's a problem with the Sadducees and the religious people and the apostles. See, but that's not what this is about. This is about a spiritual battle. See, because God, the devil doesn't want the gospel to move forward. The devil doesn't want the kingdom to expand. So this is a spiritual battle that we see. And so what the religious and political people say is, let's throw them in jail. And then that will stop the gospel. That will stop this truth from going out. Well, every time we see this happening in Scripture and throughout church history, instead of the gospel slowing down, it expands. See, because that's all part of God's glorious unfolding. When there are those that try to stop the gospel from moving forward, like the Sadducees, the religious people, the political leaders, we see God's glorious unfolding plan of bringing salvation and redemption to the people. And it just continues to move forward. Now, we look at the apostles and it looked bad. I mean, they were there in the temple and they were in the temple courts and they're preaching and they're sharing the word and then they get arrested. And you could feel, wow, this is horrible. The door has closed. Our opportunity is over. The religious, the people that are in power, I guess they won. But they didn't. God had a plan. God was continuing to unfold His glorious plan of bringing salvation and redemption. So while they were thinking the door were closed, God was just getting started. How many times have we felt like a door has been closed in our life? Maybe it's a personal door. Maybe it's a career door. Maybe it's a relationship door that we feel, well, I guess by hope, the door has closed on hope. The door has closed on opportunity. And it hasn't closed. It's just part of God's unfolding plan. And God was doing that. And we see what happens next. Because when you are committed to the gospel, like the apostles were, you're willing to go through anything to see it go forth. So listen to what Paul says in Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. That God's power is unstoppable. And when you believe in the transforming power of God, there is no place that God can't reach. Whatever door is closed, God can open that door. And we've seen that. And listen to what happens next in Acts 5:19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Isn't that just like God? A divine act. The political and religious people had closed the door, but God opens the door. He sends an angel in a supernatural, divine way to open the door that only God can open. Because when we look at the power of the religious people and the power of the political people, you would thought, well, they won. God's power is greater than man's power. God's power is greater than religious power. God's power is greater than political power. They had guards stationed outside of the jail, and those guards were faithful. They weren't going to let anybody in, but God's faithfulness is greater. Can I get an amen to God's faithfulness? Amen. God's faithfulness is greater than man's faithfulness. And God sent an angel and opened that door because God had a plan. God had a plan for the gospel to move forward, and He was going to open doors. And part of His glorious unfolding was, yes, the apostles had to suffer, but they weren't suffering without a reason. They were suffering to further the gospel. And just the fact that they were arrested for the gospel shows that the gospel was on the move. Just the fact that they were being persecuted shows that the gospel was on the move. God wasn't done. God had a plan. And we understand that. We know how God opens doors. Listen to the doors that God has opened at Three Timbers. When we first began this journey, there was no place for us to hold service except right here. All of the other schools were filled, and we prayed, and God opened the door so we could worship at Pine Creek. We wanted to have a presence in this community, and we prayed, and God opened the door so that we could have an office space downtown. And then we had all these kids, and we said, "But we don't have a building. What are we going to do?" God opened the door, and our kids meet over at the Bliss Barn, and it has a basketball court and pool tables and a movie theater. And then we said, "Well, what are we going to do with the adults? We got nowhere to meet with the adults." Just like God, He said, "Go to a bar." How cool is it that we go to a bar? And so we meet at a bar on Wednesdays for Brews and Cues. And we said, "What are we going to do with all these little kids running around?" We said, "Let's have the office space." And so we got those kids. And then we said, "Man, we got so many kids. What are we going to do?" So we approached Legacy School here in Bennington. And we said, "Could we maybe use your facility?" And they said, "Sure, and it's free." Wow. God just keeps opening up doors. And then we said, "We want to have an impact in the community." God said, "I'm going to open up doors to partner with the schools." And now we're doing all kinds of things. We're serving hot chocolate at football games. We're doing the spy run to benefit students. We're adopting families. At Christmas time, we're partnering with Anytime Fitness. God has opened doors. Amen? Amen? God is faithful. God is faithful, and He opened the doors for the apostles, and He opens the doors for Three Timbers, and He opens the doors for us personally. Whatever door in your life has shut, God can open it up. God can open whatever door you think has been closed. Because God is faithful to the kingdom. God is faithful to His church. And God is faithful to His people. You know, it is so ironic. And I love how God uses irony. He sent an angel to be the encourager and to open the door. Do you know that the Sadducees did not believe in angels at all? That's like God just kind of putting the needle and say, "I'm going to do this in a way that you can't even understand it." and he sends the angel, and the angel opens the prison door. And you know, God didn't free the apostles just to say, you're free. He freed them with a purpose. He doesn't free us just so we can say, I'm free. He frees us with a purpose. And we read about that purpose here in Acts 5:20. He said, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people about this new life. So God freed the apostles for a purpose. It wasn't just to say, wow, I'm so glad we're free. He said, go tell people about this new life. The angel of God said, tell people about the fullness of this new life. And what is that new life? That Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That salvation comes through him, not through religion, not through good works, not through being a good person. It comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And go and tell people about this new life. Because when you have a relationship with Jesus, you're not like you used to be. You're changed. You're different. You have a purpose now in your life. So often we don't have a purpose is because we don't have a relationship. When we have a relationship with Jesus, our purpose is greater than our jobs. It's greater than our families. It's greater than anything. And listen to what Paul says here. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God gave us a ministry. He just didn't free us to free us. He gave us a ministry. He gave us a responsibility. He gave us an opportunity. And that is to go out and tell people about the new life we have in Christ. To share with them what God has done in our lives, in our hearts, in our communities. Share the fullness of the message of the gospel, because it is the transforming and redeeming love of Jesus Christ. It changes your life. It will change your marriage. It will change your relationship with your kids. It'll change how you view work. It will change how you view the world. It changes us. It gives us a purpose that is greater than ourselves. And we see the faithfulness of God, but we see the obedience of the people, because listen to what it says next. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. They went back to the very spot they were arrested, went right back and said, we're going to preach. We're going to teach. We're going to share the gospel. And we don't care what happens to us because we have a purpose in life. And it is bigger than anything else. And it's amazing to see what was happening. That God's power was moving. The gospel was going forward. He not only opened the doors for the apostles, he affirmed their purpose and said, go forth. So as people were coming to the temple for morning offerings, they were greeted by people that were once in jail but now are freed, and they're sharing this new life that is in Jesus Christ. Well, you can imagine the religious people. They about lost their minds. They didn't know what to do. So they gather together for a meeting and they say, how are we going to interrogate these guys? We can't have this. They're threatening our tradition. They're threatening our power. While they were talking about interrogation, God was proclaiming salvation. God was proclaiming salvation. And so the religious and political people, they sent the temple guard, the military out. They said, you got to get these guys. And so they go and they get the apostles and they bring them in. And what they didn't even realize they were doing is they started to talk about God's glorious unfolding when they affirmed this. Listen to what they said. They said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. They were affirming the glorious unfolding of God's plan. They didn't even realize it. Because they said, man, your teaching is filling Jerusalem. It is going out. The power of the gospel is moving. It's changing. People are being transformed, and we don't like that. And I love the bluntness and the boldness of Peter. Peter just pipes up and he says this. We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Peter just was straight up showing a holy boldness. He was just a holy boldness. He was talking to religious people who wanted to persecute him, who had persecuted him, who had thrown him in jail. And he did not back down, because not only
was he free, but he understood his purpose. His purpose was to speak truth. And he showed a holy boldness. You know, and that boldness was something they prayed for. Go back a little bit earlier in Acts, and it says this. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. See, they prayed for a boldness, and when Peter had his moment, when Peter had his opportunity, he spoke with the holy boldness. He also spoke with divine courage. He spoke with the divine courage to say, I'm going to speak a message to people that I know don't want to accept it. I'm going to speak a message to people that may reject it, but I understand that I'm going to be obedient because I've been freed. I've been freed for a purpose. I haven't been freed just to be freed. I've been freed for a purpose, and I'm going to be obedient to that purpose, and I'm going to share the gospel. And so we see the divine courage. We see the holy boldness. And what we see happening in the temple courts as the apostles were meeting people that they knew, people that they probably worshiped with. You know what they were doing? They were being radically relational. They were being radically relational. That's one of the themes that we've talked about all year is be radically relational. They were meeting with people they knew. They were sharing, hey, look what God has done in my life. God is doing this amazing thing, and he's shown me the truth, and that truth is in Jesus Christ. We see a holy boldness, a divine courage, being radically relational because they understood and they embraced their purpose. It was part of God's glorious unfolding. How is God doing a glorious unfolding in your life? Do you have that holy boldness to share the gospel? Do you have the divine courage to maybe say, here's my faith, and not worry what people are going to respond to? Are you being radically relational with people in your life, your neighbors, your coworkers, somebody at the grocery store, in the mall? Be radically relational. We were talking earlier this morning. We have some guests here from the presbytery, and how they went out to dinner and were just praying with somebody who just needed prayer. Didn't know them, but just praying. That's being radically relational. And so we see God's glorious unfolding happening. And so we celebrate the faithfulness of God, that he works in his people to share the gospel. Well, again, the religious people, they lost their minds. They didn't know what to do. They were furious because their tradition was being threatened. Their power was being threatened. See, they weren't worried about building the kingdom. They were worried about having people revere them as religious leaders and political leaders. Where the apostles, they were about the kingdom. But let me be very clear. The apostles were not about building a local church. The apostles weren't saying, we got to build the best church with the best children's program and youth program and music ministry. That's not what they were about. And that's not what we're about. It's about building the kingdom. It's about expanding the kingdom. It's about people coming into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, we can think that this is about the religious, political people focused on tradition versus the apostles, but it's not. It's part of God's glorious unfolding, God's plan for the kingdom. One group thought that they could expand their kingdom by religion and good works. The apostles said, we're going to expand it through a relationship with Jesus Christ and pointing people to Christ. And it's amazing how God's plan works. It comes from all types of places and all different types of people. God never works in the way that we think that he's going to work. And we see the same thing here. So as the religious and political people got together, there was a Pharisee. And his name was, I'm going to pronounce this right, Gamaliel. I always pronounce his name wrong. And he stood up and he said this. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. And there it was. There's the promise. That God said, if this is of my origin, you can't stop it. See, the religious and political leaders thought they could stop it. They thought that they had all the power, that they could close the door by throwing the apostles in jail, that they could just shut them down by bringing them before everybody. But God's power is greater. And if something's of God, you can't stop it. You can't stop what God started. You can try. You might think you can. You may even believe you can slow it down. But what God has started, nobody can stop. And that's what we see. We see the promise of God. His glorious unfolding is it's of Him. It wasn't of the apostles. And it's not of us. It's of Him. It's God's faithfulness. It's God's power. And it's God's glory that will not be stopped. And that's what we celebrate today. That God is faithful. You know, it looked like a loss. They got arrested. They got thrown in jail. It looked like utter defeat and embarrassment. It's not going to work out. Man, this is a disaster. No, it's not. It's part of God's glorious unfolding. Because God wasn't done. And the gospel would spread throughout the world. And now it's in Bennington. Now it's in Bennington. Now it's in Bennington. Because God called us here. He freed us. And He freed us with a purpose. And He freed us with His power. And His power was to share this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. To share it with the world. To share it with this community. And let me tell you this, friends. Today is not the finish line. Today is the starting line. The past 10 years have led up to this moment. Starting line, not finish line. We've got work to do. We've been freed for a purpose. We've been freed with the power of God. This thing has, is, and will work because it is of God's origin. It's not because of our origin. It's not because of our power. It's not because of our obedience. It's because of God. Joe sent out a video this week, and he referenced a text that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God's not done yet, folks. He's got more work to do. He's brought us a long way. You saw those videos 10 plus years ago. God's not done. God's got more work. He has freed us with a purpose. He has freed us with a power. And that is to proclaim the gospel with a holy boldness, to have divine courage, and to be radically relational. It's all a part of God's glorious unfolding that the gospel and His kingdom go forth. I'm going to ask our music ministry to come back up. And I'm going to ask you to think about three things. We're going to put those up on the screen. Number one, where do you find soul-releasing freedom in your life? Do you feel that maybe the door has shut in your life on something? Do you want to be free? That soul-releasing freedom comes in Christ. Number two, do you know and live out your true purpose in life? Your job is not your purpose. Your parenting is not your purpose. Your marriage is not your purpose. Your grandkids are not your purpose. Your purpose is to take the gospel. And number three, are you part of God's glorious unfolding promise found in Jesus Christ? You may feel like you're a prisoner. You may feel like a door has been shut on hope for you. There is hope in Jesus Christ because God's not done. It's all a part of His glorious unfolding.